His name is Crew.
Hey, good looking.
BMX is his world. Rad is his way of life.
The world would be a lot better off without kids.
We're here for the biggest and most important bicycle motocross event ever held, Helltrack.
This is a very important race.
The very finest riders in the country are here riding for some $100,000.
Helltrack in this here town.
They've got to be kidding. This is a joke.
I really think I can get this one. I think I've got a chance.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
Everyone's on his case.
Get that. The paperboy thinks he's a pro.
He's nothing next to Bart Taylor.
He's got the style.
There's something about the way you ride so natural.
And he's going to prove it.
I've never seen such raw determination and talent in one kid.
Against the factory hotshots.
Looks like the local yokel's gonna race after all.
It's gonna take a miracle to beat this guy.
Against the big money fixers.
All you have to do is take out that kid.
Against impossible odds.
You scared now?
This guy doesn't even stand a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going for it all. Rad.
Welcome to The Greaties, the great 80s movie debate, where we see if the movies from the 1980s still hold up today. Whether you're a child of the 80s, a fan of classic films, or just a movie geek, you've come to the right place. Today we'll be discussing 1986's Rad, all capitals. Directed
Rad.
By...
Rad!
Rad,
man.
Directed
Gnarly.
By... directed by...
Dibbler!
Directed by Hal Needham and starring Bart Connor... Lori Attica Laughlin, and Bill Allen. My name is Christy, and I am joined by two dudes with thunder in their hearts. Every move is like lightning. Steve!
Hey!
And Ryan.
Ryan is brought to you by Kix Breakfast Cereal.
Oh,
Kix.
Rad.
Have some kicks in your pants.
I'm sponsored by Coke.
On the great, I'm sponsored by whatever insurance company had to fund this. On the Greaties, we like to take a moment to find out each panelist's history with the film that we're analyzing so everybody knows where everyone is coming from. So, Steve, since this cinematic masterpiece was your great idea, what is your history with Rad?
Well, I wanted to be Rad when I was around the age of, 13 when this came out. I was really big into BMX biking. I was nowhere near as talented as anybody in this movie, not even Lori Loughlin, but I had dreams, and this movie came out and it was like, gnarly, these dudes are awesome. And I remember loving it. Me and my BMX buddies went and saw the film a couple times, and I think we saw it in the theaters. I'm not 100% sure on that, but we definitely watched it on VHS.
Cool.
So I thought it was pretty cool, and when I saw that it was available on Amazon, I hit you up and said, hey, we got to check this classic out.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, what is your history with this cinematic world?
Like Steve, I grew up as a BMX kid, and this movie is one of two BMX movies that were around at the time. The other one being BMX Bandits, the Nicole Kidman masterpiece.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love this movie as a kid because BMX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I misspoke. I was 11. I don't know why I said 13. No, I was 11 when this came out. So higher into my BMXing.
Oh, damn.
Before I had a major wipeout at 13 and stopped riding my bike a lot.
So at 11, you were more bendy.
Yes, I was a lot more bendy and yeah.
You're still mostly cartilage at that age.
Yes. So.
Exactly. Yeah. 13, I was like, screw this. I'm done with BMXing. I'll never be Crew.
All right. Now I'm going to give you a little BTS behind the scenes. About the Greaties that I watch the movies, but I kind of depend on sources to look up synopsises so I can get a little, like a bullet point so I can follow along on this movie and be able to hit point by point and not miss anything. I still miss stuff because it is written by people who just have, barely watched it. this movie had no synopsis. So I had to literally, and for the first time, and Dave's going to laugh because Dave actually watches them and takes notes as he's going. I do not. I just take notes of going, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. Keen observation here. Insert quippy, you know, comeback here.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I do. I cheat in a way. But it helps me, like, focus on the movie, so I'm not keeping notes. But this one,
okay.
It took me 2.5 hours to watch this movie because I kept stopping it.
Time well spent.
And my husband kept, like, he was in the other room, and he was like, how long is it taking you to watch this damn movie? Because I kept stopping it, and I'd take my notes, and then I'd continue. I'd pause. I'd watch the movie, and then I'd get it. And he was like, is there any dialogue in this movie? Because all he was hearing was the music.
Right. He was like,
is there any dialogue? Yes, there's dialogue. I said, I'm, you know, watching it, and then the music is just 10 times louder than the dialogue. So, all right.
Because it's awesome music.
Yes. Yeah.
And when they play a song, they play the entire song.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Louise.
They,
yes.
They don't just give you the highlights.
No, not. Why would they with classics like this one?
So let's walk this sucker, as they say. All right. Okay. The movie opens with a kick-ass song and a lot of faceless people on BMX bikes jumping in the air.
The end.
These are my notes. Then we go to a suburban street van. It drops off.
So do you want to know who those people are?
Sure.
I believe there's maybe three of them, but you're usually only looking at two at a time. Those two guys are one of them is Eddie Fiola, who, if you were a BMX kid in the 80s, like Eddie Fiola was, he was the Elvis of BMX riders. Eddie Fiola,
Tony Hawk, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Tony Hawk of BMX.
The Matt
Eddie
Hoffman.
Fiola and the other guy's name is Martin blank Apparaid.
Martin Short. Those,
yeah.
Martin Scorsese.
I think it's Apparaid, maybe. But those guys
Martin
are like
Abreu.
They did a lot of the bicycle stunts the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And like as a BMX kid, I watched the movie for those guys.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
They double our two main characters at multiple times through the movie. But then they also appear as themselves in the race at the end.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot.
The guy on the pink bike. He's wiping out. That poor schlub.
I realize I forgot to tell my history with it. My history with this movie is when I watched it for the show. This was not on my radar, nor would I have ever seen it. Nah.
I have another confession about my history with this movie too.
What?
This is a dark confession, but I feel comfortable telling you guys this.
It's a safe space.
Thank you. There's a dance number in this movie that we're gonna talk about later, I'm sure.
Oh boy.
But just know that I, for the last probably 5 to 10 years, I watch that. I pull that up on YouTube and watch it probably like 3 or 4 times a year.
No.
Because it's one of my favorite things ever.
That is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Do you dance in your house while you're watching it?
No, because I don't have the proper bicycle.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so they go to a suburban street that drops a van, drops off stacks of USA Today. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
In color.
Definitely a sponsor of this movie.
Yes.
Which is actually kind of neat because at the time, USA Today it's still kind of a brand new newspaper.
Yeah.
It's
up in color. Yeah.
It was in color.
It's color. It's shocking. And it didn't exist before, maybe a couple years before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 84 they came along. Yeah.
So it drops off stacks of the paper for the three paper dudes, in essence, on said BMXs, and they go to distribute the papers. Now, I would like to note that the sky looks much like it does now in California, apocalyptic in red.
It does.
So I kind of feel
assuming that was a dawn kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. but kind of looks like fires. So
was
they,
it supposed to be California? Was that clear that it was in California?
It.
I don't think I really got that.
It was not clear.
No.
It just never explicitly said where they are.
I picture like Indiana, like Midwest, and they said like a podunk town in the middle of nowhere. I didn't get California, but it was probably filmed there, yeah.
I know the answer to this question only because I looked it up.
Oh.
It is not explicitly said in the movie anywhere.
Okay.
Okay.
But it is, in fact, the town in the movie is called Cochrane, and it is, in fact, a real town called Cochrane, and it's in Canada.
Oh!
I believe.
So,
Calgary.
So, maybe. It's, the fires are going upwards.
Yeah.
Huh. It was the Calgary Flames.
Yes.
Ooh. I see what you did there.
Deep sports cut. All right. So they do tricks as they deliver the papers, sometimes badly. I love
on the porch.
On the porch. And I just had to look and say, the 80s when you could leave a bike in front of the 7-Eleven and not have it stolen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not really.
Not true.
Yeah.
I had mine stolen several times.
But so we get crew jumping and going through things, and apparently he calls a child good looking.
Was a little weird, right?
It was a little weird.
But he's a young teen. He's just a young kid. He's not that much older, 24.
Yeah.
The long-standing tradition of Hollywood casting 30-year-olds as high school kids.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Ray,
not creepy at all.
We see Ray Walston getting hit with the paper, much like Johnny Dangerously, except he doesn't forget who he is or go blind.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh.
Wow, nice.
I love 80s high schools where they're all in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
And even the snooty rich kid calls him, oh, now that's one juvenile asshole. Like,
yeah.
What kind of insult is that?
He's one of the preppy kids.
So pretty much we follow Katie, or we follow crew, and we meet Katie, his crush, who really just doesn't give a shit about him.
Yeah,
is she the crush?
Is, yeah. He has a crush on her.
He has a crush on her. That is a one-way relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And apparently the way that it's going does not wear a bra. Okay, so we go. We then go to the old person bicycle club. That's how I have it listed. And they have a old person bicycle club and a tiny table for these five grown ass adults to sit around. I was like, what? Did somebody go, dude, we need a table. Anybody got a card table in the back of their Jeep?
That's why my notes like, what's up with the old folks building a bike BMX track? What? Why is this a thing?
I love the idea of a town council called to discuss the big race.
Yes. Like,
and then it was a well-attended town council.
It was. All the old folks are like totally stoked about this track.
Yeah.
So they talk about bringing Hell Track to Cochrane. And we get to meet Mrs. Gray, who's not referred to as anybody but Mrs. Gray. She waits for her time to ask about why local talent isn't allowed to participate. Because, of course, she is a big fan of crew. Watching him try to make his time, which he doesn't.
This is an exceedingly exceedingly positive movie.
Yes.
Like in typical movies, they would not. There would be people there like protesting the name. You can't call it Hell Track. You know, no. Everyone was totally cool with everything in this movie. It was very positive.
Yes.
About all the kids doing this stuff, they're like, that's great for them.
They're trying to counteract Footloose.
I guess. Yes, exactly. Another thing I mentioned in my notes. Continue.
So they say that, the factory riders are professional, but he will put up $10,000 for a qualifier for any local participant, regardless if they win or not. So if they make it through the semifinals, the qualifiers, he will give that person, the local person, $10,000. And then, you know, if they make it, they make it. So then we are introduced to Bart Connor in the lovely weird car parade.
My note for that one was was Zabka busy? they couldn't nail him.
And I love how it's like it's going to take a radical miracle to make this happen.
I enjoyed that our villain of this movie is watching the parade and actually has the line, this is some parade.
Wow.
Like it was a peak of parade entertainment.
Yeah.
Then he looks over in the barn and said, whoa, that's some pig. It says it above it. We get to meet Sergeant Smith, who I wanted to see more of because he just amused me.
Mm-hmm.
They chase around the lumber yard with peppy music.
Unclear why he was chasing them. Like, were they squatters in that lumber yard? Did they make that their hideout, but they were trespassing?
But he wasn't really trying.
It was just a game.
I think it was
a game.
I think it was kind of like, you know, that whole coyote sheepdog thing.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of equated to.
Okay.
Because at the end, he's just like, oh, you kids. You know, just like,
these are good kids.
You know where they live.
To this time.
It's like he knows where they live. If he really wanted to bust him, he would have.
Right.
He's just watching him. So then we get crew going home and we meet a Jacoby. Now, I don't know if you were as aware of the Jacoby family in the of actors in the 80s, but I was certainly the sister of Billy Jacoby. Looks just like him. But female and younger.
Is this Crew's sister?
Yes, Crew's sister is played by.
I know the name, but I need a face. Like, from what?
Oh God, he was in so much in the '80s. But he was in one of the other movies that we watched.
Right, that's probably why I'm thinking of it. You mentioned him before.
Jacoby.
I can't think of
it. And he was like in a lot. He was like on Silver Springs and all kinds of crap. But now. He's
Silver Spoons?
No, Silver Springs. Yeah, Silver Spoons, not Silver Springs. Now he goes by Billy Jane. He was in Just One of the Guys. He was in a lot of failed pilots in the 80s.
Okay.
A lot.
All right.
A lot.
Well, the sister was very precocious.
He was in The Young Riders, The Burbs. Oh, wait. Voiceover actor. Oh, no. God. 21 Jump Street. That's why I remember him. Silver Spoons, he was in a lot. He was actually a recurring character. Benson. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cujo.
There you go.
He was in Cujo.
I was thinking the kid from someone else.
Hmm.
I was thinking with the boy from Soap. I think I'm mixing up his name. Anyways,
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but he was kind of a staple. Instead of that guy that was in that thing, that documentary, he would be that kid that was in that thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, we get to meet her and, his mom, who's played by Adrian, who actually is the wife of the director, or the producer. So we find out that the SAT retake is the same day as the qualifier, and we find out that their dad has passed. We find out a lot about this one special day. And of course,
he has a rough life.
His mom.
They drop that in there and then never mention it again.
Yeah.
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 Right?
It's like.
His dad is dead.
But of course, he has the line, well, dad would have let me.
That's dirty pool crew.
It is.
Yeah, right.
You'd think in your 25 years, you'd learn to fight fair. They show them practicing on the makeshift ramps, and for once they have helmets, probably to hide the fact that it's not them.
Crew's helmet is a hockey helmet, so he's like, we're clearly like getting he's not a pro.
He's definitely an amateur.
Canada.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a dead giveaway right there.
So then we get to the big parade of the professionals coming to town. There have to be clowns and, of course, Shriners. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Not a parade without clowns and Shriners.
No. It wasn't. It really isn't a parade without them.
No.
So we meet Bart. We get to see Bart and the Douche Twins. The girl with, and I just call them girl with side boop and boob.
To me, they look like young Michael Bay.
Yes.
Which is
that's perfect.
Appropriate for their character, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, they get.
We're going to ruin so many movies.
They stop, and Bart gets out to sign autographs for the girl with side boob and the other one with Dove shorts. And then I just had my one note says, oh, the gold chain on Bart.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the size of success is to have a big fat gold chain.
He's an OG. Yeah.
So, yep. And we find out that there's a suburban mom who needs to get out. I have a cake in the oven. And she's stopped by the parade.
Doesn't she say this is un-American?
Yes!
This is un-American.
But she keeps handing out flags to everybody. And that's her gimmick, is she's always there handing out flags.
Jeez. They let her through.
And so he stops everybody and lets her through so she can go home and get her cake out of the oven. He locks eyes on Lori Attica Laughlin. So then,
and the cop.
And then we have a weird like double vision fade. I was like, what kind of editing is this? What the hell?
80s.
Oh,
the introduction of Lori Laughlin in this moment is like she looks beautiful in this movie.
She does.
Yeah.
She looks great. And then
she looks so innocent.
It cuts to Cruz's face seeing her for the first time, and that guy has no poker face whatsoever.
No, he doesn't.
He's his tongue like turned into the cartoon wolf and rolled down his chin and across the street. And
totally.
You're just like, where is the ooga sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Watch out for Uncle Jesse, though, man. You don't play around.
Yeah.
Stay away from Aunt Becky.
So we get to the high school again, and he keeps trying to impress Katie, who still not wearing a bra, and apparently it's cold, and doesn't care.
Yeah.
And the hair. It's like they just pick some girl from the mall and be like, hey, you want to be in this movie? No, don't go to Vanity Fair. You don't need a bra right now. Look, come on. Come on.
Right. This is where Cruz's relationship with Katie starts to get creepy. Like,
she's
clearly not interested in him, and he does not seem to get that from her.
Yeah,
I'll pick you up and go to a dance on my bike.
Nah.
Yeah,
nah.
And she's just not even remotely interested. So he does not take hints very well.
No. So we're at the dance. Pretty much welcoming the BMXers, because there's nothing that says welcome professionals over 30 than
a high school dance.
Is it a high school dance? Is it a community?
It's a community dance.
At the high school?
Yes.
Sort of
it's at the high school? Why is the mayor there?
And there's a punch bowl, and
not spiking the punch bowl, at least.
Yes.
They're just spiking their own drinks.
They're spiking their own drinks, So the old men conspire over the punch bowl. And Crew does needless tricks in front of Lori. And the douchebag twins in there, I found out this later, they borrowed those jumpsuits from V.
That's exactly what I just had written down.
What is amazing? God,
they stole my
notes.
What is amazing is as I'm watching that, I went, oh my God, those look like V costumes. And then it turns out
they stole my notes. So they actually wore V uniforms?
Yes, they were.
Wow.
They borrowed them.
Well, my question was, were the twins wearing V uniforms?
Yes, they were.
I guess the answer is yes.
Yes, they were.
So
wow.
The douchebag twins and their weird girls do the Macarena electric slide, and Bart does a lot of duck face. That's really, those are my notes, folks. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah. Then Christian, played by Lori Attica, jumps his bike. And she and Crew, this is the thing that you watch, isn't it, Ryan?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To the entire song of Send Me an Angel.
The entire song. Send Me an Angel.
Such a good song, by the way. I freaking love that song. No joke. That's like one of my favorite songs of the 80s. Freaking love that song.
It's a great song. And this scene.
It really is.
This movie peaks in this scene. This scene is outstanding.
It really is. It really, really is. It's cheesy as hell, but God damn, it's iconic and it's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of slow motion crew, and he has dress riding pants.
Yeah. With sparkles.
With his sparkles. Shirt has sparkles. And everybody cannot take their eyes.
She sparkles a lot.
She does. Yeah. She does. She defies gravity and sparkles. So at the end, he rides off and she's, you know, Cinderella looking for his glass slipper.
Why does he bail? What the hell? He just like bails. It made me think of the Brady Bunch movie. Like, I gotta go. Something suddenly came up. My thought on that one.
And they never clarify why he bailed, other than
he just chickened out.
Gone, I guess. Done.
It was too much for him.
He's gonna go.
He needed his inhaler.
Yeah.
Maybe he has social anxiety. I can't, you know.
Yeah. It was a very weird moment.
So we find out in the next scene that the two riders from the beginning are together. She's kind of unisex in the beginning, and then you're like, I think that's a girl. But then you find out that, they're macking on each other.
Yeah.
And we go back to the makeshift ramp, and now Christian is there to give him advice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much saying, you know, let go. Take the helmet off. I can hurt. take the mattresses out. But I can hurt myself.
Yeah, take the mattresses out.
It just means you're going to land on your ass.
Which is good advice because he nails it.
Yeah, eventually. Christian and crew ass slide to slow lovey music and full clothes into the water.
It's called ass slide.
Ass slide.
God. Now, does this whole sequence, does this count as the meet cute or is the dance scene the meet cute?
It's the weird ass really cute, I guess. Yet.
Huh.
I mean,
yeah.
I would say this.
Yep.
Now he does.
It's kind of like a montage. It's kind of a. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this would qualify more.
Yeah.
It's more the 80s kind of montage, getting to know each other out and about. And yeah.
Sliding down an outdoor slide in full clothing into a big river.
Which is fairly obviously a sewer pipe of some sort. Or a wastewater drain. Yeah.
Right. It's a runoff.
Why are my ass cheeks numb? Okay. So.
Ass
slide.
It's called ass slide.
But it's the lovey music.
And early in the movie, Crew has said that he was waiting for that special someone.
To ass slide.
To go ass slide with, so.
Yeah. Which everyone was like, what? Exactly are you talking about, dude? Yeah.
Put a pin in that, because that's going to come up again.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They strangely get dry and wet alternately, you know. I'm like, wait, you were just wet. Now you're dry. Dry, now you're wet.
And what was the talk about making hot chocolate with like river water?
It's yes.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't
know. What?
Wasted a couple of cans of beans for hot chocolate.
Yeah.
How far out in the wilderness are they?
They're in the tundra. So it ends, like most 80s things, with a kiss.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Send me an angel.
Crew gets to work and gets made fun of by the preppy who called him a juvenile asshole. And we find out that he's going to apply. He decides that he's going to apply to go to the qualifier and just kind of say, fuck it to the SATs, because Christian has...
The SAPs?
The SAPs. Because Christian has...
Spanish subtitles?
Christian has convinced him, you know, you can do that later. My sister took a year off. Because, you know...
I read a note for you, and you can be like, you know, a water polo player or something.
I don't know. Random chick who comes out of nowhere says, fuck the future. Ride a bike.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, but we find
out... Listener.
We find out that the little sister can forge mom's signature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, the little sister swears a lot.
Oh, yeah.
She really does.
She...
There is nothing funnier than little children swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, yeah, on that note, though, what does it matter what his mom's signature looks like? They're not going to be... It's not like the high school principal. They're not going to be comparing the mom's signature to anything.
No!
Right.
Why is he trying so hard to forge it perfectly? It makes no sense at all.
And how many copies of the paper did he have to get all those copies?
That makes no sense at all.
He is a paper boy, so he can...
Oh, that's true.
He can
that's true.
Steal from his own stash.
So anyway. Best is going off where he's very proud of Hell Track, and they start the Hell Track qualifiers. And Bart's in front of people. He's in the lead. Yeah. Kicks one of the douchebag twins. Or actually, the douchebag twins are kind of like his flank. Like they knock people off and everything. And
douchebags.
And then we get to Mike see Adrian watching TV, doing laundry, thinking that Crew is off taking his SATs, and sees that he's there.
Watch his BMX race. Yeah.
What? He's there. He falls on the third run, but then cuts to get back in line because he supposedly, like, you kind of get an idea that he knows this town so well that he knows exactly how to get where he needs to get.
This qualifying made absolutely no sense at all. The rules are insane. And he cheated the entire time. Yeah. He kept going off the course like several times. He blatantly cheated.
Like,
and
that becomes his go-to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to cut. I'm going to. No, that's not how races in qualifying work at all. He should have been disqualified several times. And like, hey, he won. They even mentioned it. Oh, the guy doing the voiceover mentioned that he's taking like a shortcut. What is this cheating? Crap? It's for $10,000, and no one has a problem with this kid cheating.
The only rules are there are no rules.
There's no rules.
No, there's one of them where this is one that I was kind of curious whether this was planned or not. But on one of the second time we see him cut that corner and he cheats because he blatantly cheats, he also wipes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he gets hit by another cyclist at that point.
Yeah.
And that's one of those shots where, like, I'm not entirely sure that hit was planned.
Because
they hit hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you fake that. I think that was just one of those, he wiped out. Oh, and this other bike guy crashed into him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that looked real. Let's keep it. Yeah.
He didn't read the plan.
Right. And there's no way he would have gotten up from that wreck and still gotten third or whatever it is in the race. There's no amount of cheating and cutting corners he could have caught up then. But, you know, whatever. It's a
he's
movie.
Superhuman. He's
really good at cheating.
He's really good at cheating. Yeah. So I have this. I wrote a note. I have the sister's earrings in the 80s. I had the little hearts, the cascading hearts.
Oh, yeah.
So I was sitting there going, shit, I had those earrings. So Mom comes to the race and confronts him and makes him promise to take the SAT in 6 months, because he pretty much is like, look, I am never going to be at a time again where I can be like this and I can ride. I'm good at what I do. So please let me do it. And then I'll take you got to promise to take the SAT in 6 months. Yeah, but sure. Yeah. When I'm touring. Sure.
This is how I know I'm old, is that I was 100% on Mom's side. I was like, she's right. Don't
fritter.
Don't take your SATs. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Crew goes to work, and his friends taunt him with the fact that he won, and they're like, oh, what are you going to do with the $10,000? And then somebody stops him and goes, hey, the big shot BMX guy is outside, and he wants to talk to you. As he's going outside, the slutty girls try to tempt him. I don't know why.
As they will.
I mean,
in my notes, I have them listed as those two chicks, and I have CHIX. Chicks.
Yeah.
And they're just like randomly evil.
Yeah.
The BMX bimbos.
California Valley girls. Yeah, exactly.
You just kind of like, apparently when BMX shows go on tour, there are some skanks that follow. So he gets into a car with a stranger.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
why not?
He's 24, he's fine.
An adult.
So
the bad guy also invites him into the car. He says, come on in.
I've got candy.
Nobody says, come on in when you're
on in.
Having somebody get into your car. Like, that's just a weird phrase to use.
Yeah, it was very weird.
You say when you're talking to somebody outside of your
car. I'm watching you. Get on in. Come on in
here. I've been watching you, kid.
It's not an office.
No. But so the slutty girls go into Mrs. Gray's store, totally distracting from the fact that we never see the guy's offer. I mean, we hear about it later, but why is that scene?
It made no sense at all.
They wanted to save that for a reveal.
I guess. Yeah. But I love this quote. I've never seen so much raw determination and skill in one kid. Like it's a bad thing.
We got to crush that.
So he's
destroy everything.
Destroy that that persevering spirit. So he tries to get into the real race, but he's turned away when they say he doesn't have a sponsor, and they keep coming up with these new rules.
Yeah, that was my next note. Like, you can't just add rules as they suit you. Apparently. Who does that? I mean, apparently. Really?
But I love how he turns it around.
Willy-nilly make up rules.
Yeah, I love how he turns it around and goes, this is all your fault, you know.
Yeah.
This is the
taking a dive. Yeah.
The bad guy's second command is delivering this information. Yeah. I have him listed in my notes. Every time I mention that second command guy, I refer to him as a discount Harvey Keitel.
Yes.
Yes.
When I was looking, I was like, God, he looks so familiar. And you know what he's from? Cannonball Run.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
I'll need him. There you go.
Yep.
So
Ray Walston overhears, and you can find, you kind of don't know where Ray Walston is, like bad guy, good guy. Yeah. He's kind of, but now you kind of understand that he's like, I may have chosen the wrong side. Then all of a sudden, why is he driving Lori Loughlin's car? Cause she can't drive. She drives a freaking bike. Why does he have to drive the car? Isn't that even his car?
Wait, he's driving the car? Wait.
He's,
yeah, what are you,
they go to go talk over things.
Right.
But
yeah,
he drives their car.
The red SUV.
Yeah.
They load the bikes on.
Yeah. But he's driving her car. It's her freaking car.
I didn't notice that he was driving. I guess I didn't catch that.
I don't know why. That is weird. I think it was just like, I was very female empowered, and I was like, she could drive her own goddamn car. Come on.
Right?
I was kind of pissed off with that.
I don't blame you. I actually think that, like, I would love to see not a remake of this movie. I would love to see somebody, like, copy this movie, but tell it from Christian's point of view, from Lori Loughlin's point of view. Like, what is her story? Like, we know that she's a champion race winner, but we never get to see that.
We just get to see her in a quote-unquote tight racing outfit. To which I'd be like, if I was that character, like, why am I wearing this? Why? I have no pockets. Where the fuck are my pockets?
Right? They don't explain why she's even really there. She's like, she works for them. She kind of like does marketing or something they hint at.
Yeah.
And they don't really say exactly why she's there. No. She's not racing.
No.
They mentioned that she can't race or doesn't race, whatever.
So Wes makes some shirts and gives them an idea. Because she's kind of like, I made these shirts. The little entrepreneurial cursing 12-year-old or 10-year-old.
What was her name?
Wes.
Is it Wesley or Westley?
Westley.
Wesley or West. Some weird kind of name. Like Westley or? Yeah. Who came up with these names for these kids? Crew and Westley.
Well, his name is technically Christopher.
Oh, yeah?
Because the mother calls him Christopher.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
So,
never mind.
They then create a sweatshop in the home ec room where people are getting their homework done.
More cheating in this.
Yes.
The nerds do everyone's homework and SATs while we do slave labor to make all these shirts. Like,
right. Yeah, so we got the 11-year-old who swears a lot to forge mom's name.
Yeah.
Yep. We cheated at the race. We're helping other kids cheat at school. And child labor.
Yeah,
great.
Way to go, Hal Needham.
Wow. So now they have rented a tent or gotten a tent at the race.
Yeah, why not?
And they're selling the shirt and a piggy bank.
$10 a pop.
Yeah.
That's a lot in the 80s. That's a very expensive shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was hand dyed. No. Mm-hmm. So then they go off. Crew and Christian go off on another riding adventure, which it's definitely not her in a sweater and a wig. when they're riding, they're jumping on top of tables and shit. And, the guy in the sweater is doing some impressive moves. They have lovely ballad music. And again, with the water, they jump and they end in the water. And then they're in a shed like squatters.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, at least they don't try to look dry. They have suddenly, hobo blankets out of nowhere.
Yeah, don't know where those blankets came from.
This is the scene, This was the scene with the hot chocolate, wasn't it? I was mixing up
maybe,
the scene.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
This is where they talk about the river water hot chocolate. Like, what? Yeah.
So then we go back to the race, and Ray Walston enjoys the free Enterprise and the fact that the kids are actually trying to do, you know, raise some money to do it. And boom, a new rule. Another one.
Another new rule.
Oh, man. Those guys, discount Harvey Keitel and his new rules. Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
And they have to make $50,000 in sales to qualify.
Bastards.
Yeah.
These poor kids will never do that.
Yes. But then, there's just no way. It's over. No it's way. Over.
It's over. Nope. End of the movie.
And Ray Walston just kind of
do it.
Ray Walston kind of gives him the quote. Remember this, Best. Nobody uses me. Nobody.
Yeah.
And then we see Officer Smith for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What they call? What was his name? They call him. They call him Skinhead or something.
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
They casually refer to him as Skinhead at one point.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah.
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 They're back in the shed, and of course Christian uses the supreme insult, I thought you were a man.
Oh, how could she?
He's 24 years old, he's definitely a man. So then we end up seeing crew doing another run of the delivery, and this time he gets the newspaper on the porch, all the papers are where they need to be, and he makes the right time.
Woo! Yes. He doesn't knock over anyone's coffee.
Yes, true. And we end up going back to the angry old biking people to debating over sponsoring crew. And then Officer Smith decides to, you know, pipe in and say, they're special kids and they have hope.
We need to all come together as a town.
Yeah.
So inspiring.
So then we go into the convenience store and there's a panda sign in the convenience store. And I wrote down what it says. It says, having a friend makes you glad all over. And they share an ice cream just like the pandas.
Aww.
And that's when he finds out that the town is raising money for him. And we go to the race and they have announced that crew has raised the money to compete. The whole town is sponsored.
Where could they possibly get all of that money?
Oh.
How okay, my question is, do the kids have to go back into the school and make 5,000 t-shirts? Are they obligated now to actually make all those shirts to get that money?
No, Ray Walston is buying them on credit. He's like, hey, I'll
trust
you. But
they to make them.
I'll trust you. You'll make them later.
You'll make them for me every day after school, you kids. These nerds will be doing your homework for an entire year.
Well, and it's toward the end of the year, because if they're taking the SATs, there's not much left.
Over the summer.
Not much time.
Summer school sweatshop.
Summer school.
Yeah.
Best tells the douchebag twins that all they have to do is take crew out.
Yeah.
And Ray Walston flips off Best. And now it's kind of like, fuck you guys. I'm going against you, dude. Even though he has, technically, in Best's words, he has as much to lose as Best does. Which I guess, I don't know.
It's unclear what exactly he did to help the villain, like what was the relationship there?
I don't know.
Something with the financing.
Maybe he helped build the track. Maybe I don't know
the planning.
He
maybe
owned
the
land.
The land was his.
I don't know.
It's unclear.
So crew goes to Officer Smith,
Skinhead,
Officer Skinhead Smith,
and he tells him to pretend he's in a lumberyard and go balls out. Which was originally supposed to be the title of this movie.
Really?
Balls out, yes.
Oh, nice.
That
would have been rad.
Yeah. We see Christian in a riding outfit, but she's not riding. So we then get to meet all of the professional racers. Ryan, were you just literally beside yourself with the famousness of all these riders?
Yeah, that's why they take the time to give you every single person's name, is that they are all
real.
They were all the real deal BMX riders from that time. So I was delighted.
Yes, they all awkwardly each awkwardly wave at the camera, and Mom Adrian shows up in an Amish outfit. Was she stepping away from witness or something? I don't know. She sits down and she's sitting next to the patriotic lady that was hanging out the flags. It's a small town. How does the patriotic lady not know who this mom is? Because she's like,
"Oh,
who are you here to see? He's a local boy there. Yes, I know.
You don't know his mom?
You don't know his
40 people in this town, seriously.
Yeah. So the race
did we skip over before the race starts? There's a moment where he has one last chat with Christian, his new girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
And as we learned earlier at their what may be their meet cute when they go ass sliding. he has the line right before the race starts, where he says to her with a completely straight face, he says, "God, what I wouldn't give to be ass sliding with you right now."
Yeah. How could you have skipped that, Christy?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I was trying to take notes, man.
That would be the title of this movie.
I stopped and went back and rewatched that three times because I could not believe that's what they actually
Someone said. Wrote that.
Someone wrote that, yeah.
Wow, and I wouldn't give to be ass sliding with you right now.
That should be someone's wedding vows.
So the race starts. Crew is in the front, and the track is so small. They go through. There's a Kix bowl.
Yeah.
As foreshadowed earlier. yep. And they just keep going through the same track.
Yeah, for Hell Track, it's kind of tiny. The qualifier would seem to be bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The third lap, the douchebag twins knock him off, but he gets back on. Yeah. And then, the third lap, crew flips for no reason, just cause he can't.
He cuts a corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's falling back again. On his cheating way.
Oh, yep. Gotcha.
He cuts the corner and he has to do the flip to cut that corner.
So
and it's almost like that training sequence where he learned how to do the backflip. It's almost like it had some sort of payoff.
Yay.
So the fourth lap, Bart knocks the douchebag twin out of the way to challenge crew.
Turns on his own teammates.
Crew wins with a turn at the end, a little twisty, and Officer Smith finally takes his glasses off.
Yeah. Well, you skipped a little thing here.
Why?
For some inexplicable reason, Bart just stops and waits.
Yeah.
Yeah. He purposely throws 30 seconds off of his time.
Yep.
He had it won. He's like, "No, I'm going to stop here and wait for this kid to catch me." it was such a weird, inexplicable, unexplained character choice or change. They go with from here on the movie. It makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
So that, no.
There was a sequence earlier in the film where we have our villain is talking his villain plans first to my favorite Martian and then to Discount Harvey Keitel. And then, and every time we see the bad guy talk about their plans, somebody is overhearing it.
Yeah.
And gives I'm not sure I like this villain. And, you know, first it's Ray Walston, then it's Officer Smith. But then we actually get one where Bart Taylor has that look of like, I'm not sure I like what bad guy's doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there was a little bit of setup for it.
I guess I can see that. Yeah.
You can kind of see, even though Bart's a dick, he kind of wants to win out of his own merit, not because of cheating.
Right.
Even though Crew's cheating.
However, Crew has no problems with cheating.
No, not at all.
Right. He's exactly cheating your way through anything.
Best threatens Bart, and the twins tell him off. So Bart's like all by himself. But he goes to shake Crew's hand. He goes, "I guess I'm out of a job." And Crew tells him, "Hey, you need to be on the rad team."
Which is what?
Which is one guy.
How does he think he's going to afford like this world-class cyclist? And what gives him the balls to think this guy's just going to join him instead of going to Schwinn or any other bike company after being at Mongoose? Like, what? And then they're like, okay, and that's the end. Like, what? What kind of nonsense is this? It should have ended with him going, "Yeah, sure, I'm going to do that."
Right. But instead, it ends with him raising the bike in the air and freeze framing.
Yeah. Freeze frame.
Freeze frame. It was
like the end of the A-Team.
It was a very non-typical ending. It was like not at all like what most 80s movies would have been like.
No.
Like you would expect him to be like defeated and like in the dirt cursing crew. But no, he's like, "Oh, well, I'm going to let you win. I'm going to join your team now. Here's your bike. Everything's great." It was very unusual.
We never got any kind of denouement with Crew and Christian.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nothing. It was just very, very, like I said earlier, this movie was very positive in a lot of ways, except for the whole cheating and slave labor and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But just, there's no real conflict or like bullying, really. Like you would expect in these kind of movies with this kind of competition.
It's because they're in Canada.
It just wasn't there. I guess it was very polite. You're right.
Yes, it's very.
You should have known it was Canada.
Yeah.
All along. Definitely not California. No. This is Canada. You were correct. There you go.
So we end with more BMX tricks at the end.
Oh, yeah.
We got John Farnham singing a lot of the songs in here. And I wrote down all the songs that are in this. We have Break the Ice at the beginning. Love Theme from Rad.
Yeah.
Also sung by John Farnham. And Thunder in Your Heart.
Thunder in Your Heart.
You have Thunder in Your Heart. You need to see possibly a cardiologist. we have Baby Come Back.
We're going to play all 4.5 minutes of it.
We have Baby Come Back, written by Eddie Grant, but sung by Jimmy Haddix. Send Me an Angel by Real Life. Riverside Riverside by the Beat Farmers. Sparks. Music you can dance to.
Okay.
It's kind of like the just instrumental, I think. Wind Me Up by 3-Speed. Get Strange by Hubert Ka. And the last one is Caught Up in the Crossfire by the Charm Kings.
So there's only one song by Real Life in that?
Yes.
I thought the song before Send Me an Angel was also by them, because it sounded very similar.
It sounds similar, but it's a different group.
Okay.
So that is all I have for plot.
That was the plot.
Yeah, it was the plot.
And as those final credits roll, we the whole time we're watching those guys from the beginning of the movie just do tricks.
Do tricks.
Which by the way, the tricks that they're doing are really good. Like those guys, those are world-class freestyle bicyclists.
Yep.
I couldn't do any of them.
Nope. Me neither.
Nope. I could tabletop. That's about it. I could land a jump. I could do a wheelie. That was about as far as I ever got.
I have some trivia on this.
I could bunny hop and endo. And then
there you go.
So I have some trivia. Despite petitions, this film had not been officially released on DVD or Blu-ray until Vinegar Syndrome announced that they restored the film in 4K.
Ooh.
And would release it in both Blu-ray and 4K UHD format.
Nice.
That was actually in the last couple years.
Okay.
Filming was delayed because the Hell Track starting ramp was so high, none of the riders wanted to go down it.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was then cut down to a 25-foot tall version, which was on it.
Oh, wow.
The original, like I said, the original title of the film was Balls Out.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
The
character. Balls Out, Ass Slide.
The original title. Sorry. The character of Crew is loosely based off of Eddie Fiola, who did most of Bill Allen's stunts in the film. The only song that was in the movie but wasn't on the soundtrack was the Charm Kings song Caught Up in the Crossfire. Because of this, the song is now lost.
Aww.
During the filming, none of the stunt riders were able to complete one entire lap of Hell Track.
Really?
The race scenes were filmed one section at a time, five times over, before filming the next section. It took 2 weeks to film the entire complete Hell Track.
Probably that because that cereal bowl was pretty much impossible to race over that in an actual race.
Yeah. Cereal bowl. What was that?
That was so stupid.
Brought to you by Kix. Kix for breakfast.
What was the Kix? Wasn't there a Kix song? I feel like there was a Kix jingle.
I think there was, but I can't think of it.
I can't think of it either.
Yeah.
I'll have to play it at the end of this recording.
Yeah. I know there is. I can't think of it. Yeah.
So when it came time to film the Hell Track scenes, it was fall, but people were asked to remove their jackets and make it look like summer, and the leaves on the trees were painted green.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Someone's job was to paint the leaves.
Yep.
That probably happens more than you think.
Yeah.
It was a foliage artist.
Now, there's a warning at the end of the film. I actually stopped, wrote down the entire warning at the end of the film. Much of the action, much of the action depicted in the movie Rad is potentially dangerous. Virtually all of the riders are experienced experts or professionals. Do not attempt to duplicate any stunts that are beyond your own capabilities. Always wear the appropriate safety gears from the producers.
Nice.
I like that even the warning is fairly positive. It's it's kind of encouraging.
Don't go beyond your own capabilities.
Don't go beyond your abilities. Work up to it.
But you got to find work up to that.
Work up to it. Yep. During practice for the film, Rick Moliterno, who was one of the stunt riders, broke his leg. It was written into the film when Cruz is about to race the Hell Trek. Rick is sitting on Christian's truck, asked him to sign his cast.
Oh, that's the guy. Huh?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
That's the guy. That's the guy in the pink that you were asking about.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamie Clark, who played Luke, the friend, is now the 9th Canadian to climb Mount Everest.
Okay.
Wow.
This one, it was interesting. According to the co-writer, Sam Bernard, on the behind-the-scenes commentary, the positions of the trainees were covered up in the credits because the Writers Guild of America wouldn't let them put the crew in, let the crew put them in. Huh? Originally, trainee script writer was written, but it was pulled at the last minute, worrying that they could be fined. That's trainee weird. Script writer.
I was
writer.
Wondering about that.
How? What
the? I was wondering. The I did a little bit of digging after I watched the movie, and the two twins.
Yeah.
They are they huge. Continue writers. To work as script writers, mm-hmm. so they're writers.
Huh. All right.
Only a handful of credits, like as actors, but tons and tons of writing credits. So.
Did they work on the reboot of V by any chance?
They brought their own clothes.
So that would have been nice.
Bill Allen performed one bike stunt in the film when a crew crashes through the fence on his paper route to notice the Hell Trek advert, as they say in Canada, the advert.
Advert, eh?
He's the one that actually is on the bike going through there, but there were two guys on the other side pulling wires to pull the fence up.
Did Lori Loughlin do any of hers? There were a couple of things that looked like it actually was her. A couple like little stunts. It looked like she was actually riding pretty well.
Yeah, she coasts through a couple of scenes on a bike, and looks pretty comfortable.
Bill Allen has since made a book called My Rad Career.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eddie Fiola does the stunt work for Lori Loughlin when they're in the park. That's why I said he's in a sweater and a guide. Yeah.
That's funny.
Bill Allen actually dyed his hair in order to look like his stunt double.
Okay.
As which is kind of
vice
like,
versa.
Yeah. When asked, there's one guy that does all the falls. Mike Miranda said that he was paid $500 for each fall.
Oh, wow.
Since he falls three times in the Hell Trek race, he got $1,500.
Well, that's why he kept falling. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna wreck this time. I'm going to wreck every lap.
Bill Allen was 23 when he did this film.
Yeah.
And he got the role of crew thanks to an episode of Hill Street Blues. Hal Needham saw the episode, and that's how he got it.
Was he riding his bike in that episode?
I don't know. Now, we talked about crew being a weird name. Well, it's short for Cruiser, which his friends call him several times. However, Crew Jones's real first name is Christopher. Like I said.
Okay. Christopher.
Christopher. Mm-hmm. Not Christian, because that would have been too confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Couldn't call him? Yeah. Rad's critic score rating on Rotten Tomatoes is 44%, while the audience score is 90.
Nice.
You got to know your audience.
Yeah. And really, it was a perfect relic of the feel-good 80s underdog drama. It really never cracked the cult film canon. It so turned into like it was passed in bootleg, bootleg copies. One thing I thought was really cool. The Vulture had a huge article about it because it was an anniversary of it a couple years ago, and so they did a whole big article about Rad. because it apparently was a phenomenon. Rad was a family affair. It was produced by Jack Schwartzman, and whose son, he passed away in the mid-90s. He was married to Talia Shire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who's a Coppola, right?
Yes.
Talia's a... Yeah.
Yeah. His son, Robert Schwartzman, helmed the re-release through the distribution company Utopia Films. Now, you might know that Schwartzman name because Jason Schwartzman, also a son of Jack Schwartzman.
Nice. Okay.
And Talia Shire. So that's their son.
Huh.
Jason Schwartzman.
Jason.
Oh.
Okay. Hmm? From Scott Pilgrim?
Yep.
Okay. I just watched that a couple days ago.
Yep. Huh.
Interesting.
Bart Connor kind of has a quote where he said, "I always wondered when Hal cast me, did he want me to be like the blonde dude in The Karate Kid?"
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't get Zabka.
Yeah.
That's what that, do. I mean, that is a archetype of 80s movies.
Yes. Yep.
He didn't quite have the same blonde hair flap that Zabka had, yes. But it was pretty darn close.
So Connor, this was post the Olympics. This was after the Olympics. So he was a pretty big gymnastics star. He, right around the time where he was supposed to start filming Rad, he did a showcase and he tore his ACL and his MCL and was put into a leg immobilizer for 3 months.
Oh.
And so he, like, had to call Hal Needham to say, "I'm sorry, I can't do the movie." He said, I blew out my knee. I can't move my leg. And Hal Needham's response was, "Oh, you'll be fine. We'll shoot you from the waist up. We'll give you some Percodan."
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess he really liked him.
Yeah. And actually, Bart Connor is married to Nadia Comaneci, which I thought was cool.
Wow.
Being a huge, that like, cool. 80s Olympics fan, I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Years ago, a super fan in Texas built a replica of Helltrack. And there was like a bit of a celebration. A bunch of like diehard fans showed up. I don't know if anybody, I don't know if they went with the modified entrance ramp or if they.
They have to. They can't do that. Gigantic.
They keep the Kix bowl?
I bet there was a Kix bowl.
That no one could get over.
Nobody could get in. Nobody could get
so
over.
So impractical.
And that is all I have for Rad. What are your thoughts, gentlemen, on this film? Do you have any other notes in your notes?
Wow. I went through all my notes. You covered a lot of them.
One of the things that I love about this movie is that, I especially for me, because I was of the exact right age for this movie, that BMX was kind of a big thing,
mm-hmm.
wasn't really mainstream, but then they made this movie and they got the people who were really, really good at it. So it's imagine if you made a basketball movie and then you got, you know, Michael Jordan to be, to do all the basketball stuff for you. That's what these guys did. And even now, like watching, when I rewatched the movie for this, the stuff that those guys do on their bikes is they're wizards. They're amazing what they're able to do. Now the movie that they built around it is a little lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
could have been
the actual physical skill that these guys have is incredible.
I agree. And I was the right age too. It was perfect. It was like pre X Games. You couldn't see this kind of stuff. It wasn't on ESPN. You like really have to go out of your way to see this kind of stuff. It was pretty rad.
Yeah. Hence the name.
Rad.
So let's talk about some rankings. So as always, we rate this on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. We're going to take a look at how you gentlemen thought about it at the beginning, because you guys saw it originally when it, or close enough to when it came out, and I will just have one. So Ryan, what was your rating for Rad then and now?
Then and now. Now, then, as a kid watching this, I had to give it a 5 because, when you compare it to the other BMX movies that exist, Well, wait, there are no other BMX movies. this was wonderful. This was great. To rate it now, there's just so many tropes and poorly executed archetypes, and it's so formulaic. I'll give it a 1.5 now.
Wow. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Wow. Just as a movie making exercise. Yeah. Like, again, I admire the skills of the writers in this movie, and that dance scene will always be one of my favorite things in life.
Right? I thought that would bring it up higher for you.
I know. Okay. I know. Wow. I wanted it to.
Wow. I'm reconsidering my thoughts now.
Unfortunately, what I hadn't remembered was that dance scene is in the first third of the movie.
Yes.
And it's all kind of downhill from there.
Literally downhill.
I remember that scene, and I remember it being great, and it is a great scene, but I'm like, oh, surely that must be near the end, as you know, as our couple finally comes together. I'm like, no, they pretty much get together with no problems whatsoever, and they dance, and it's a great dance scene, and then we have to suffer through the rest of the movie.
Wow.
Yeah,
big drop.
All right, I'll go next. We'll leave Steve as last since it was his choice.
Reconsider.
So
okay, I'm thinking.
This was being my first time seeing this. I could appreciate what they were trying to do, and I kind of felt like it almost, to me, without the swears, kind of read like a movie, TV movie.
Yeah.
Because it felt like a lot of TV people were involved, or it had that feeling of a TV show. So I maybe give it a 2. I didn't hate it. I did enjoy it. And the music pretty much did it for me. I did like the music. So I give it a 2. Wow.
All right. Okay. Great. Good.
All right. Steve. Moment of truth.
I remember really liking it as a kid. I don't think it was the great, back then, I didn't think it was the greatest movie ever, but it was cool to see the bikes. And it was a pretty good movie. I would say I probably gave it a 4 back when I was 11 and I saw it. So,
do it.
Yeah. I didn't want to go below 2, but I think I might have to. I'm gonna go 1.5 as well. Yeah.
Wow.
All the things that I mentioned, like he cheated so much, and he's supposed to be the hero. No one acknowledged that, and the acting was pretty awful. Even Lori Loughlin couldn't save it for me, and I had a big crush on her back around those times. And I thought she was amazingly adorable on Full House she's from Rad. Yeah, 1.5. Wow. It was just poorly executed. It ruined my memory of it. But at the same time, as I was watching it, my kids were doing virtual school, so they couldn't watch it with me. Uh-huh. I never really had time to watch it. I was thinking today, after I fixed both my kids' bikes, their tires were bald, so I got their BMX bikes. I got new tires. I filled up their... you know, their tube, went on a nice bike ride. They're like, you know, riding through the neighborhood in their BMX bikes. I'm like, man, I wish I could show my son this movie and these stunts and what they did. And I didn't get a chance to watch it with them. And I'm not going to pay for it again.
No.
So I don't know. Yeah, 1.5.
I think you have like 48 hours if you got it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's past that. This was last week. So no, it's tough because it has a lot of good nostalgia, but it really wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so that gives us a total of 5, and averaged out, it is 1.666666666. So we'll round it up to 1.7 to be kind.
Nice.
Okay.
I guess this officially says it does not hold up. Which is weird because, like, a lot of articles, there were a lot of articles about this. There's a fan base for this movie. That just,
yeah, I really think it's because of the cycling stunts in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, if you like bicycle stunts, this is the movie. There's
nothing else. There's really nothing else.
I can totally see this movie being played on, like, in the background of a bar,
mm-hmm.
like a sports bar.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to watch it, but you just know it's there. So the visuals just kind of catch you once in a while.
Right.
Okay.
It's on one of the many screens between college hockey and
tennis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's much more entertaining than golf.
Yes. Oh, yeah. What isn't?
Yeah, that's true. So you can sit there and, you know, like, get ready to send a drink to that lady down the end of the bar and just watch the ass slide scene. Hey, baby. We can do that.
Want to go ass sliding later?
Want to go ass sliding later?
I would give anything to be ass sliding with you right now.
I can totally see somebody like making a rad inspired cocktail called the ass slide. The balls out ass slide. Now, there was actually kind of one of the reasons that I was kind of interested in watching this movie is the Send Me an Angel. One of the local breweries, Broken Strings, made a beer called Send Me an Angel.
Oh, nice.
It's an IPA. We have it in our refrigerator. And I was like, oh, I should drink that while we're doing this.
Yeah.
So was that song from this movie?
It's from the movie from the album Heartland in 1983. So it came out first.
Okay.
Just that they used it.
Gotcha. Okay. That's how I wasn't sure. Like, if it premiered in this movie or was just something that had been around before that.
So yeah, real life. And then real life really didn't have a lot of hits.
No, just that.
Yeah.
I always think of that song when someone says they're going to send me an email.
Send me an email.
The song always pops my head. Always.
Right now.
I would want to write that. That's so weird. That's every delightful. Time I hear that phrase, I should someday.
And if you get a chance to watch the video for this song, wow.
Yeah.
It's the lead singer kind of looks like... a really like a cross between Rick Ocasek and Robert Smith.
Oh, good looking guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Woo. Wow. He's a looker. Woo.
Wow.
It's an Australian band, so you know, they know BMX. So all right. Okay. Well, let us know your feeling, because like I said, this is a pretty not polarizing, but it's a pretty beloved movie from the 80s, especially by, you know, BMXers. So let us know your thoughts on Rad, all capitals, on our Facebook page. And also check out our catalog of past shows. We've done over 120 shows, so we've got a lot. We've watched a lot of 80s schlock. Check it out. Also, if you would like to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/NiaZaz, and you can check out all of the shows, because we've got a butt ton of them, on NiaZaz.com. So, as always, thank you very much, Ryan, for joining us.
Thank you. I'm going to ass slide my way out of here.
And Steve, I forgive you for choosing this movie.
Yay, I love being forgiven every time.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye. Send me an angel.
Send me an angel. I really do love that dance scene.
I do too. I'm not even joking. Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It is a great, like you said, it's a great song. It's very 80s, but it's a great
song. Is this where the song premiered? I want to find out, like, was this the premiere of the song? I don't know.
I read a thing about the production, like one of the trivia bits was that when they shot the scene, there was a different song that they were using. So then they had to tell the extras, hey, don't try to sing along because it's not going to be this music.
Oh, that's funny.
He gets in your eyes and he's making you cry. Don't know why.